Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Thomas Millage Baptist Church, our Wednesday night prayer meeting and study. And I'd like to welcome all those out there in Facebook land and those out there in the parking lot listening on 88.1. And we're just glad you took the time to be with us tonight. And just remember, no one loves you like Jesus does. And we're going to sing number 445, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Johnny Black, today's his birthday. Don't know how old he is, but happy birthday. And next Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, we won't be having church service, but we will be having choir practice. Choir practice is starting back up at 6 o'clock next Wednesday. That would be the 3rd of November. And church service will start at 7.
And then November. Our new class, college and career age class.
You can tell me. Yeah, I got it.
All right. Good evening, everybody. And I was just adding that it is good that we're getting our choir back and going, and we'll be moving our next Wednesday. We'll have choir practice at 6 and then service at 7. But also the following Sunday, the first Sunday of November, we're going to be beginning our college and career age class in the social hall. So and Children's Church is beginning back the same day, I believe, right? The Children's Church begins November the 7th as well. I think that's the date, or the 8th. But see, there's just a lot going on. And believe you me, the devil is fighting. Have you ever had a day where it was emotionally difficult day, but you still were able to make a productive day, that God still allows you to be a productive day in that? You know, God is good. He carries us through our times, even when our emotions want to ball up and get in the corner and cry. His Spirit enables us to overcome what the flesh and the mind want to do, and His power carries us through the day. But tonight it is good to be with you, whether you're watching by Facebook, you're in the parking lot listening, or maybe you're here with us in the sanctuary tonight. But not any means does it imply that you're not a part of this worship time wherever you're at, even if you might listen to us later on during the week or later on. There's some people that I look at it and they go back and listen to sermons from a few months ago and all. So who knows what God will do in His Word. But tonight we'll be in Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. There are a few study guides. I didn't make many. But if you want one, they're down here. And then we'll move on. We've only got two more passages, two more chapters to go through here in Proverbs before we'll be finished with it. And so we're going through Nehemiah right now. We're about halfway through Nehemiah. We finished up the book of James, and I know I want to go to another New Testament epistle after that, just, and Lord willing, it'll be Peter, 1 Peter. And so we'll go from the half-brother of Jesus and his perspective on the Christian church and how we should serve, until we go to Simon Peter's, the chief apostle, you might say, the one who walked closest to the Lord, the one who basically, some believe that he's the first pope. Some believe that he was the first Catholic pope, and they based the popacy on that. But I don't believe that. But he is the one that expounded the truth that you truly are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. And you remember Jesus said to him, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And so it's just awesome to look from the different perspectives. But before we go to Proverbs chapter 29, we always want to give praise. Praise the Lord. Yesterday was a good day. Me and Brother Otis were able to attend the first graduation at Recovery Through Christ. And, oh, man, it was just awesome, wasn't it, Brother Otis? I mean, to see what God had done in the young man's life and his testimony in the time that he was there. One of them was he led his the woman that was cutting his hair. Now, this was a boy who was addicted to drugs 7-8 months ago. After God brought him there, he led his hairdresser to the Lord, run outside in his apron to get an evangelical tool, and came back in and won that woman to the Lord. Is that not awesome? I mean, and then the other things that God had done for him during that time was just amazing. And then me and Pastor Tim from Silverleaf, we were able to eat lunch with Brother Travis Engel, kindly our tie to the SBC, and we're trying to link up more. As you know, we had Brother Don Paxson here. He took my wife and youngins out to eat. He says he knows everything about me now. So, but it's just good to see the gears up and going. Do we have any words of testimony or praise? Also, we had some that's wanting to join, so we thank God for that. Lord willing, we'll meet with them tomorrow night, I'm hoping. Do we have any other words of testimony and praise tonight? Amen, amen. I tell people I love where I live too. You might find as pretty in some way, but you won't find prettier than where I live. That's what I tell everybody. I told Mama, thank God she fell down in Georgia instead of up here in the mountains, or she still might be rolling. For so you don't know, my mom fell and fractured her elbow Sunday afternoon. And so just be praying for her. She's going with the long-term option of healing instead of the surgery and all that. So pray for her. And praise God she was okay. I mean, he kept her from being more beat up and bruised than she was. Thank you, Sister Donna. Sister Sherry, did you have your hand raised?
Well, I've been getting phone calls from the people in the church. And finally got one left me a message and said,
Well, praise the Lord.
So I called down there and he said, well, hi, how are you?
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Anyone else? Amen. Any other praise? Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He's on the name of the island. He said, just one of the small islands.
Wow.
And I just, it was such a, to me, it was like
a divine appointment.
And he was telling how he and his wife, they're the Catholic Church, and how they.
Amen. You saying that the day that the band tournament was in Big Stone, in the parking lot that day, we parked. It was crowded there in the parking lot. We parked, and I heard the door hit when Mama got out. It went boom, boom off of a truck, and it just stood out in my mind, and I said, easy now. And all of a sudden, there's a page. We've been there about an hour, and there's a page that says, Amy Gunner, report to your car. Amy Gunner, report to your car. And I'm the one that drove the car, so I went out there to it. And this woman was standing there, and she was the owner of the truck, and the truck was less than 3 to 4 days old. And it had a good ding in the sign where it had shut, and she was a little upset. And she had the right to be a little bit upset. And so as I got there, you know, she had called the law, and I told her, I said, you know, no problem, whatever it is, just figure out what it was, and call me first, I might can pay for it, but if not, we'll turn it over on the insurance. And we got to talking, and come to find out her husband had been saved a little less than a year. And we were talking, and we got to talking about how good God had been to us and how great, you know, God had put us together. And we stopped and held hands, and we prayed together. And you could feel the Spirit of God fall. And so we left, and Mom and Daddy and I went and ate at a restaurant there in Big Stone. And I get a text on my phone saying that as me and my husband prayed, we both felt the Spirit of God, and we believe that this is a God dent, and we're not going to get it fixed. Don't worry about it. That's just one of those things. I still tried to get her to get it fixed. But, you know, God has a way of putting us into the places where we need to be at and how awesome it is. I told her that she was the kind of church member I wanted. Anybody else with a word of praise or testimony? Our prayer needs tonight, we do want to remember the lost. We want to remember the backslidden. We have marriages. I've had a few this week that's asked me if I would consider doing some marriage counseling, and we always will be open to it. And if we can't help, we'll send you, try to get you to somebody that can, if it's beyond our realm of experience or knowledge. We want to pray for our nation. I was studying the next chapter of Nehemiah and how basically they rehearsed that God had given them the lands of Cana and all those others, and that now they are slaves in their own land. And if you look at America right now, that's what we're becoming. They're trying to make slaves of the people to the government. And so we need to stand strong, stand independent, but dependent in Christ Jesus. Dylan, Kelly, and Carter Rose. Kevin Stevens, this is the friend of mine that was in ICU that has the need for surgery, but his oxygen was so low. Well, he's been moved out to a regular room now. We give God the praise for that. And Miss Joanne was listening Sunday night, and she let me know it. So we want to pray for her as well. Continue to pray for Brother Wayne. We know he is healing. Did they keep his eyes open for 30 minutes and then do like drops of water in them? That sounded like torture almost. On the other eye, God bless him. Amen. Yeah, give it to Daddy. Delbert and Martha Gillette, Wilma Williams, Tanya Nash, Sister Phyllis, Bill Leeds, he's in the Sneedville Hospital right now. Just be praying for God's grace in that situation. Susan Lassiter, David and Nancy Carter, Pam and Jasper Brown, talked with Sister Pam yesterday, Lord willing, they're getting their stitches out, and I think it might have been today that she was getting them out, but it's going to be soon, and she's ready for it. David Starnes, Marcella Bledsoe, Karen Jordan, Jared Newton, Milo Hill, John, Stephanie, and Brenda Stinicky, Ivan Scott and family, Lisa Estep, Betty Carter, Kathy Baldwin, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Duran, Wilma and Don Daniels, Larry Tomlinson, Miss Melanie Lester, Larry Spears, Deborah Ramies, Mickey O'Neill, Jeanette Carter, Rick Swanson, Kyle Lawson, Mike Brown, Kathy Smiley, Penny Horton, Brenda Allen, Junior Stidham, Ronnie Owens, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Lorraine Davis, Brandon Johnson, Terry Bueller, Debbie Starnes, Ashley Clark, Larry Bledsoe, Gary and Brandy CC, Margaret Williams, Jesse Bull and Pam Savarsky, Stanley and Sandy Williams, Jason Knight, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Deborah Horton, Kevin Tigner, Heather Markham, Helen Garrett, Betty McCorkle, Susie Drawdery, Maggie Statzer, Larry Rasnick, Susie Hill, Roger and Vivian Eden, John Wade, Daryl Hurd, Cindy Osborne, Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, Shannon Haynes, Laura Evans and Children, Gary and J.T. Jones, Billy Joe and Sandra Robbins, Rhea Osborne, Justin Bowen, Wilma Jacobs, Doris Williams and Family, Sister Lillian Baldwin and Family, Paul Stoyer and Thomas, Susie Hill, Carol Carter, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, Felicia and David Cantrell, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Tommy and Alma Mullins, Haley Webb, Sean and Dawn, Carol, Darlene, Jalen and Scott, Linda Jordan, Jerry Flannery, these are some I've already, and then Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Liza Fletcher, Helen Bowen, Wilma Tomlinson, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, Ricky Sheffield, James Connor, and the one that Daddy lifted up, I can't remember, Tina Marie Henderson, that was the one that he called out. Are there any others that we need to put on the list or take off the list? That guy. She's married to that guy. The Lord. That's what I put in parentheses was Carter. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Amen, it is. Amen. Yeah, and it's good to be able to minister to other people. As Christians, it sounds like the Lord's opened up many doors for you to help others, and only heaven will tell. But amen. Amen. You can't give him better than that. Anyone else with a? Okay. Yeah, I've talked with some of them too. They will make sure I'm praying before the test, before the exam. They will make sure they're praying. There's a lot of pressure. Yeah, amen. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, if nobody else, it's good to have Brother Gary back, and I'm going to ask him if he would come forward to lead us in prayer. Brother Paul, did I see you? And it's whatever the dictator says it is. I mean, you know, he makes up his own reality, don't he? Brother Gary, if you would.
Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, just to thank you for this, another opportunity to be in your house, to worship, to praise you, to give you thanks for all your many blessings. And Lord, we know that you are a good God, a gracious God, and Father, you are the creator and sustainer of all that is. And Father, we just recognize that and thank you so much. And Father, we lift up all these names to you, Lord. We know that you know them. You know their every need. You know their their hearts. And Father, we just pray that you will continue to bless, to heal, to strengthen them in mind and body. And Lord, just draw us all closer to you, Lord, as we strive to walk in the steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And Father, we pray for Brother Brian as he stands to proclaim your word this evening. And Lord, may it just fall upon our hearts that and help us to just be closer to you, Lord, and to live our lives in a faithful way. And Lord, we just thank you, we love you, and we praise you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, I do also want to ask you to be praying for Amy. In the latter part of November, she will be having surgery, so just pray for her. And then my brother, Robbie Gunner, he's supposed to have a youngin' on November the 2nd, and in February of 2020, he'll turn 50. So just be in prayer. He's as happy as pig in slop, though, buddy. So God bless him. But pray him and Hannah and Lincoln and Holland. They're expecting. They said today that he's estimated at 9 pounds 4 ounces right now. So he's gonna be a big old boy, big old boy. But not me in the head if that happens to me. Okay, just put me out of my misery. All right, Proverbs chapter 29. Just remain seated, and we'll read through it beginning in verse 1. Proverbs 29, verse 1. One who becomes stiff-necked after many reprimands will be shattered instantly beyond recovery. When the righteous flourish, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, people groan. A man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but one who consorts with prostitutes destroys his wealth. By justice, a king will bring stability to a land, but a person who demands contributions demolishes it. A person who flatters their neighbor spreads a net for his feet. An evil person is caught by sin, but the righteous one sings and rejoices. A righteous person knows the rights of the poor, but the wicked one does not understand these concerns. Mockers inflame the city, but the wise turn away anger. If a wise person goes to court with a fool, there will be ranting and raving, but no resolution. Bloodthirsty men hate an honest person, but the upright care about him. A fool gives full vent to their anger, but the wise hold it in check. If a ruler listens to lies, all of his officials will be wicked. The poor and the oppressed have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. A king who judges the poor with fairness, his thrones will be established forever.
I don't know what that means. I messed up right there. Somebody read that one.
The rod. Okay. I hit it with an I. I don't know why I didn't spell check that rascal. A rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a youth left to themselves are a disgrace to their mother. When the wickedness increases, rebellion increases, but the righteous will see their downfall. Discipline your children, and it will provide you peace of mind and give you delight. Without, I thought this was awesome on from Sunday morning. Without revelations, people run wild, but one who follows divine instruction will be happy. A servant cannot be disciplined by words. Though he understands, they will not respond. Do you see someone who speaks too soon? There is more hope for a fool than them. A servant pampered in their youth will become arrogant later on. And angry person stirs up conflict, and the hot-tempered one increases the rebellion. A person's pride will humble them, but a humble spirit will gain honor. To be a thief's partner is to hate oneself. They hear the curse, but do not testify. The fear of humanity is a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord are protected. Many desire the ruler's favor, but a person receives justice from the Lord. A unjust person is detestable to the righteous, and one whose way is upright is detestable to the wicked. last week, as so many times before, in Proverbs 28, we saw that the one bullet point type proverb. And tonight, again, all 27 of these are bullet type proverbs. Now, next week, when we get into Proverbs 30, we're going to see the paragraph or the unit type proverb. Specifically, if you look in Proverbs 30, verses 2 through 6 are containing one precept or one idea. So we're going to have the chunk type Proverbs next week, and then we're going to see it again in chapter 31 with the virtuous woman, the description of a virtuous woman. But tonight we're going to go one verse at a time, so let's get on and hold on, okay? One who becomes stiff-necked after many reprimands will be shattered instantly beyond recovery. All right? Now, what is a reprimand? It's some type of instruction that is the correction of an error or something like that. How will one be broken instantly if they get stiff-necked? Well, basically what it is, when they don't apply the law, don't live by God's word, then one day there's going to come something into their life that they need to be flexible with. They need to be able to surrender or humble themselves to it. But because they can't, everything's going to bust wide open. I can't help but think of a marriage. You've got one partner. Because it takes accountability and submission on both parts, husband and wife. You have to be accountable to one another, you have to submit to one another, and you have to be humble and elevate the other spouse above yourselves many times. But what happens? Someone in the spouse, they get to where, I'm not going to bow down, I'm not going to submit, she can't hold me accountable. Who is he to think that he can tell me what to spend and all that? And one day, what's going to happen? Because they have been, they just keep not hearing the word of God, what's going to happen? Boom. The marriage is going to shatter. Something is going to give. And it all goes back to the idea, not listening to the corrections of God's word when it comes to the topic of marriage. Anyone have any thoughts on that, about the idea of being shattered instantly? I do like the word stiff-necked, because it just seems like that they can't turn. You know, the idea of repentance is to turn. You know, it's to turn away from one to another. And so if you have a stiff neck, that you've probably not been willing to turn, you know. So any other thoughts on this passage? The stiff-necked people. Amen. We're going to see that in the Nehemiah study of this week. They rehearse all the stiff-neck episodes. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them. It means that it'll be in a place, going with the physical idea of it, that they'll lose everything they've got, basically to a point to where it would take God to bring them back out of it, I guess. It could be. I mean, you know, the Lord says he will not always strive with man. So it could be to that point. There's one instance where, and Ken was with me on this one. Me and him went to do a visit one day to a man that was on his deathbed. And when he found out who we were, he was laughing and cutting up with his family, wasn't he? When he found out who I was and who Ken was, his whole demeanor changed. And not to be vulgar, but he urinated himself in front of us. And I believe it was resentment to the Spirit of God and wanting to get anybody that was representing God uncomfortable, to get them out of that room. And I believe that individual had been turned over to a mind that was, he didn't want to think about God. And that's what it means. God will turn you over to a reprobate mind, a mind that will not even consider God. Just like some of our scientists today that say evolution is the only answer. You know why they say that? Because they've eliminated God as an answer. They won't even hear of him being an answer. It has to be by some type of magic or big bang or something like that, because it can't be God. It has to be something else. And our country is coming to a place, because we've rejected all that. One day we're going to wake up and it may be shattered and gone beyond repair. Brother Otis? That's right. Well, you know, and what we forget is this, is that many of us can go to chapter and verse to quote the Bible. But most people, especially in the world we're living in today, more people can in their mind quote Aristotle or Sigmund Freud anymore. And they can, like in Aristotle, he had a book like the Bible, and you can find, you know, the chapter and the page, and the same with Freud and stuff like that. And we're living in a world, what are they doing? They're stiff-necked to the Word of God, and they're focusing on that, what they... And I do believe we're seeing America moving to a point where if God does not intervene, if the people of God will not decide that we're going to rise up and be the people of God, be the body of Christ, then we're going to get to a point where... of no return. And you know what else? If we think about who was the young king? Josiah. I think it was Josiah who found the law in the temple. Remember, it was broken down and he found the law. And he was a young man, and but he reestablished the kingdom on the word of God, on the law of God. And what did God do? He said, I'm bringing judgment. It's too late. Judgment's going to fall on the nation. And we know it's the lower kingdom, because the lower kingdom is the only one that had a good king. Amen? And so we know it was. But he said, I'll put it off for a little while because of a righteous king. He won't see it. Exactly. And, you know, I don't like seeing what I'm seeing. Do y'all? So... we benefit ourselves when we say, God, we're going to turn back to you, because he might stay his hand. Who knows what he will do? Remember when Moses interceded on behalf of the people of Israel, God said, I'll wipe them out and make you a brand new one. He said, nope. And God is long-suffering. It is. Genesis, yeah. It is. We've become fools in our wisdom, is what Romans 1 basically tells us, that we'll get to that point where we proclaim ourselves as wise, but in our great wisdom we demonstrate ourselves to be fools. It's awesome when you see reality in the pages jump off and see it around you, even if it's not... like we said, it may not be emotionally comfortable, but it is what has to happen. And Christ could return, call us home anytime. What do y'all think that one is? General. Yeah, we ain't going to get through all these. All right. Jump to verse 3, because the idea of the wicked ruling versus the righteous ruling, we've read that how many times? I mean, he has made a point in Proverbs to let us know that when the righteous rule, the people and the nation are blessed, and when the wicked rule, it's a curse and the people hide themselves. So in verse 3, though, it says, a man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but one who consorts with prostitutes destroys their wealth. I think you can look at the prodigal son as a picture of this passage right here. We know that what did the boy do? He asked for his inheritance. He went and spent it with riotous living, or basically a party type of lifestyle, and then he winds up in the hog pen. And I think that's what we see with one who loves wisdom. And remember, wisdom is tied back to a relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot have true wisdom without that. But the one who consorts with prostitutes destroys their wealth. Any thoughts on that? Which one do you think it is? The general. And if you wanted to, I could go with family on that one as well. Verse 6. An evil person is caught by sin, but the righteous one sings and rejoices. In Ecclesiastes 9:12, it says, for a man certainly does not know his time. Like fish caught in a net, or like birds caught in a trap, so people are trapped in an evil time as it suddenly falls on them. There are so many sins today that you can get caught up in. And yes, there's the flamboyant ones, such as drug addiction, sexual addiction, different things like that. But there's also the little ones of pride and of running your mouth and being a gossip or something like that, or not being faithful to the calling that God has on your life. So we see that the idea of the one that's caught by sin, but the righteous one is basically free. And because he is free to live, or they are free to live, then they sing and they rejoice. Why? Because they are free from the curse and from the bondage of sin. Any thoughts on that? Which one you think it'd be? General. I think this is neat. Verse 7. A righteous person knows the rights of the poor. Meaning that to walk in a right manner, then we understand what a poor individual has rights for. They have the rights for us to look upon them with care, to look upon them with the eyes of Christ Jesus, to help they're a poor person. I think that it's our duty to make sure that they have something to eat. But we also know as well that if a man doesn't work, then he need not eat. But we see that there are certain things that any inalienable rights. Isn't that what it says in our Constitution? That God's created us equal. And so there are certain things that the king and the poor have in common. Which verse is that one? Maybe, Was it number 7? Okay. Well, there's one, though, that says verse 13. Jump to verse 13. Remember, we're talking about the righteous sees the rights of the poor. Okay, now look here. The poor and the oppressed have this in common. You see, there's some things that the richest and the lowest have in common. And it says that the Lord gives light to each of their eyes. It is the same light that it allows my eyes to see as it is Joe Biden or anyone else. Yes, sister. Okay. And the oppressed. Okay, the one who does the oppressing and the one that's being oppressed. So, again, you would have the oppressor who would usually is in a authoritative position, right? And then you have the poor who's at the same, who's far below them. But you have the same thing that's given to them, and that is the light of God. Whereas if we jump back to that verse where it's saying that we recognize the rights of the poor, just as God is the one that gives them the ability to see, whether no matter the station they're in, then the righteous who are walking in God's way need to recognize in the same fact that even though they're poor, they have a right to be treated with dignity. They have a right to be treated. Because remember, like over in the book of James, when it says it's not good to show favoritism to the one that comes decked out in fine jewels and purple threads and all that, and to put the other one aside. See, and that's awesome about our forefathers, that they believe that every man, the poor and the financially wealthy, that God had given specific rights, you know. Which one on verse 13, was that where we at? Yeah, what y'all think that one's general, leadership, or family? It could be very much leadership. I think it could work there too. The rod of correction imparts wisdom. Verse 15. But a youth left to themselves are a disgrace to their mother and father. Anybody want to tell a story how you may have embarrassed your mother and father as a uncontrolled youth? Yeah, I remember I told you about the time in Pick and Save where I put my hands on the ice machine. It was big, it run the whole back aisle, and I put my hand on it, and I like to feel the ice run through my hands, you know. And when I run all the way down and I come all the way back, Mama was gone. And I had to have her paged over the big thing. I'm sure, see, left to myself, I caused my mama embarrassment. And see, that's what it says. They are disgraced to their mother. I believe you me, that day my mama probably said, oh, I wish he wasn't mine. Any thoughts on that? Oh, man.
And so later that night, we couldn't clear
the room. Amen. Well, you know, and one of the politicians is quoted as saying that The rights of the parents are being taken away right now. And we've got a politician who says that he doesn't believe parents should tell the school on what to teach. I mean, that right there is, how can you swallow that as an American? I mean, I'm a parent. God put them under my watch care. You know, but saying that is that one of the reasons that correction is because we've turned away from the law of God. That's one reason. But two, the government has taken away certain things that you could do to correct your children and to put them into the right way. You know, it's sad. When the verse 16, when the wicked increase, rebellion increases. Which right we want to talk? How about Seattle? Okay, let's talk about Seattle. Wickedness, they're passing laws around that area in Washington and Oregon and all that. They've passed laws where any amount of drug is acceptable. I mean, as long as it's a certain amount, you can't do it. But it's also in those northeastern states or, northwest. I had to do my never eat sour watermelon. Did you get it? North, east, southwest. That's my never eat sour watermelon. But what do we see? We see the cities being taken over. We see the righteous law that God said he has given to us. It's being pushed out. Why? So that rebels can take over the cities. So we're seeing the increase of wickedness. And because of that, we're seeing the increase of rebellion. And to rebel against the nation, as long as it's not in rebellion to our God, then that's a sin, that we're to follow the laws of man until the law of man conflicts with the law of God. Then what do we choose? We always choose God. Always. Always. All right, let's jump over to verse 18. Now, you've probably heard this verse is this. Somebody reads the King James Version. Well, there is no, you know that verse. But I thought it was amazing. It says in the Christian Standard that without revelation, without divine understanding and awe-inspiring, showing us the way that we should go, then the people will run wild. We see that in America right now. But one who follows divine instruction will be happy. Hey, can I link it up with you? Remember, we always say that the Old Testament is the physical expression of the Old Covenant, is the physical expression of the New Covenant. All right, let's go all the way back to the children of Israel. Okay, when they came out of Egypt, what was it that God led them by in the daytime? A pillar of fire. So he revealed. The cloud. It was a pillar of cloud or a cloud pillar. And then at night, what was it? But what was happening there? God was revealing to them the way that they should go by that column, right? By that pillar. See, even then, it was dependent upon revelation. God revealing what he wanted. Then they were inspired to follow that pillar. And the further they followed that pillar, the deeper they, the closer they came to Canaan land. And see, that's the same thing it is with us in the spiritual sense. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the people of God speak, and we see things the way that God would have us to see it. Then we're inspired to move in the direction He wants us to move. And as we move and apply that, then we come closer and closer to the Lord. You see, the old and the new are weaved together. It's a beautiful picture there. Yes, sir. I ain't even going to look his way. Head forward. Amen. And if you see that passage there from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, the boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare and prophetic visions were not widespread, meaning that God was not having or was not giving great revelations at that time. And see, that's what we've got to recognize here is not every church that you can go to and feel the presence of God like you can at Thomas Village. Matter of fact, with every Sunday, I believe it gets less and less in America that you can. And that's why we need to be like Eli. Eli kept Solomon close. Why? Because Eli wasn't getting anything from the Lord. It was Samuel that was receiving the message. Any thoughts on that one? Verse 19, a servant cannot be disciplined by words, though they understand, they will not respond. Put that in a practical thought for me. Well, there's some that words are not going to do anything about. You can tell them over and over. I've got two children. Both of them I have spanked, but not many times. Maddie, I can basically look at her, and that's all she needs. Talmadge, he's one I can look at him, and he'll keep pushing it until I get up and grab him. Well, that's the way they were as a youngin', you know. And so he took a little bit more. The words weren't going to say anything. So what did we do? We put him in a corner, did this, and sometimes he got a spanking because some of this words ain't going to cut it, you know. And it takes a strong hand. What was that, brother? Actions speak louder than words. Amen. Amen. All right, here's the one that about stumped me. Okay, and we'll end with this one. Verse 24. To be a thief's partner is to hate oneself. They, the thief, hear the curse, but do not testify. What do you think that means? I'll give you the Old Testament verse for it, okay? Leviticus chapter 5. When someone sins in any of these ways, if he has seen, heard, or know about something he has witnessed and did not respond to the public call of testimony, he is responsible for that sin. I think the idea here is this, is that even though he knows that something's been done wrong, even though there's been some manipulations, if he tells about it, he's going to get caught up in it. It makes him guilty. So instead of doing what is right by confessing or testifying on the others and upon himself, he doesn't care about the curse. He doesn't care about the consequences. He's just going to keep his mouth shut and let whatever happen, happen. Anybody, was that the buzzer? Did I get that one wrong? Any thoughts on that one? But that is, to be a thief's partner is to hate oneself. Meaning that you just enjoy bringing troubles and trials into your life that could have been passed by had you not chosen to be a partner of a thief. All right, anything else before we close tonight? It's good to be with you. I'm thankful you come out and just remember to invite somebody to church. Get excited about Jesus and what he's doing here because nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been a good day to be in your house. And God, it's been a good day just to see your people as we study and we seek to learn from your word. And God, you know that we're imperfect. You know, Lord, we each have our failures. We each have our fears. But God, you're bigger than our failures and you're bigger than our fears. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight that, Lord, I don't have to fear anything other than you. And so, God, tonight I pray that the joy of the Lord rise up in each and every one that's watching this service or each and every one that couldn't watch this service, Lord. But in all things, Lord, let us be reminded that this is your body, this is your temple, we are your people, and let us live to the glory of the one and only King. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. We'll see y'all Sunday, if not before.